Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It's coming, a showdown in court between Texas and the federal government.
The U.S. DOJ sent a letter to Texas Governor Greg Abbott saying if the state doesn't forego enforcement of Senate Bill 4 by January 3rd, the U.S. will pursue all legal remedies to do so. Signed into law earlier this month by Governor Abbott, it creates a state criminal offense to cross the border from Mexico into Texas illegally and empowers state and local police to enforce it.
The goal of Senate Bill 4 is to stop the tidal wave of illegal entry into Texas.
Migrant rights groups have already filed suit in federal court to block it. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Maine's Secretary of State has ruled that former President Trump is ineligible to be on the Republican presidential primary ballot. She based her decision on the insurrection clause of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Here's CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Maine allows the Secretary of State to disallow candidates without a court or legislative ruling. This case will surely make it before a state court judge to overturn the decision. In the meantime, the effect of the ruling has been suspended.
American troops are moving into the Eastern Mediterranean, says CBS's David Martin.
Joining another amphibious ship already there, that gives the U.S. military a much greater capability to evacuate Americans from Lebanon if the simmering conflict between Israel and the Iranian-backed terrorist group Hezbollah boils over.
And Iran says it has now executed 4 saboteurs linked to Israel's intelligence service. There's been a major Russian missile and drone strike on critical infrastructure in Ukraine. President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia launched 110 missiles, most of which, he says, were shot down. In the southern city of Odessa, 2 people were killed, at least 15 injured, when missiles hit residential buildings. 4 people killed, more than a dozen injured, and a strike in the city of Dnipro. Almost 5 million blenders are being recalled because they're unsafe, says CBS's Matt Piper.
BlendJet 2 even cleans itself.
The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission says the BlendJet 2 portable blenders can overheat or catch fire, and the company has received 329 reports of blades breaking during use to date.
The 17th annual Times Square Good Riddance Day gave people a chance to throw out, shred, or smash something they wanted to rid themselves of.
We are throwing away time spent in hospitals. Bye-bye.
I got low self-esteem, low confidence, and fear. It's really good to just do away with it. You know, it's sometimes you need the physical manifestation. It puts a pen to the paper, if you will.
The day is inspired by a tradition in which people stuff dolls with objects representing bad memories. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin's Board of Regents will meet again Friday morning. On Wednesday night, they fired UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao after they learned he was making online pornography. The Board of Regents will meet in closed session to discuss ongoing personnel matters and to talk with legal counsel about potential litigation. Young people of color are still going to prison at disproportionate rates. Advocates for alternative sentences say young people need to be better equipped for life after incarceration.
It's not only about a public safety argument, though I think it's very important to recognize that kids who are held in these facilities are in fact more likely to reoffend and more likely to reoffend on a more serious charge the next time.
Joshua Rovner is the Youth Justice Director for the Sentencing Project. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks in Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks road trip continues as they face the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin says he's not concerned about scoring points these days. He's concerned about playing defense.
I don't worry too much on the offensive end. There's going to be days where the ball doesn't fall, but I try to focus, you know, if we could continue to make progress on the defensive end because, you know, defense wins championships. It's a cliche, but it's true. You know, we got to be able to defend April, May, and June.
NFL New Year's Eve. It's the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. Running back A.J. Dillon was at his locker with a cast on his broken right thumb, and I asked him him if he's ready for the crowd noise inside that Viking stadium.
It's an awesome atmosphere we're going to be going into. Sunday night football, it's you know, everything that we want is kind of right there for us. So this is what you kind of look forward to when you grow up playing football, these types of games.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain overnight, cloudy skies, gusty north winds, and upper 30s expected by sunrise. On your Friday, early morning rain, then mostly cloudy skies will stick with us. Highs will reach the lower 40s in the late day. Wind still breezy out of the north. Currently 32 degrees.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's The Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is a Thursday, December 28th, 2023. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you along on a couple more days. That's all left, Mr. Zommers, of 2023.
It goes by so fast.
I know, right? That look on his face, like, yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, it's today and then the weekend and then it's New Year's. So how about that? It's exciting. Glad to have you along with us on a Thursday, December 28th. Some great new content coming up for you a little bit later on today in the show. We are going to be hearing from the Law Forward folks, their executive director and legal counsel, and talking about Timely indeed, this, among other things, the Supreme Court case right now in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And perhaps by the time we're recording this, we'll be honest, a little bit in advance for the holidays, but we may have a decision on this by the time this airs. But the details are still pertinent. We're also going to talk about gerrymandering in this state, also talk about fake electors. And Mr. Zommers, one of the cool things is, in this brand new content, our friend and colleague Kristen Bry is along, and she is going to co-host that segment.
It's a double feature.
It's a Kristen and Todd 1-2 punch today on the show. So looking forward to that. And tomorrow, we're going to be live with a brand new show on Friday the 29th before we our year ender. And tomorrow, we're going to look back at some of the great pet stories of 2023.
And you know what? There were a lot. I was looking back. I don't know. If you've been listening since we've been in the morning, you've definitely heard a lot of weird animals.
We love a weird animal story. You know,
we have some of our own.
We have some of our own. But we love a weird animal story. So tomorrow we'll look back at some of those. So anyway, I'm glad you're along with us here on a Thursday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media app. Don't forget, you can download the app by simply going to your app store, your Android or iPhone device, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. That's Civic Media. It takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King calls a deal. So download the Civic Media app and get all that good information. I wanted to do this morning, or this afternoon, I see it, Mr. Zommers. I've immediately fell back into our morning gig here.
That's what I get for mentioning it.
No, not your fault. My old man senility, that's what it is, Mr. Zommers. Anyway, I wanted to take a look back at something that we talked about earlier this year, something that happened earlier this year, and that was the creation of the new suicide crisis lifeline, and that is 988. And of course, our great U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin was one of the key authors of this. And what it did was it took a full, we'll call it a full number, like 800, whatever, and changed the number for the mental health suicide crisis lifeline from a long number to simply 988. So if you're someone that facing a crisis, it doesn't have to be a situation where you're considering death by suicide. It could be something less than that, just a life crisis, or maybe you're struggling with a mental health issue beyond that.
Or if you're somebody who knows somebody with these issues, right. If you have a close person in your life who you know is struggling or thinking about ending their life. I know this is a resource I would have loved to have. There have been a few times in my life helping people close to me that I've been like, hey, there's this number you can call. And they're like, what is it? I'm like,
right.
And have to look it up. And they're like, I don't have the bandwidth for that right now. And I'm like, well, that's understandable.
Right. And this is much easier to remember, just 988. And I think particularly during the holidays, unfortunately, there's a lot of times that people are under extra stress. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're spending the holidays alone. That can be stressful as well. Just moving into a new year. All kinds of reasons that people feel extra stress this time of the year. So here is a 9-month update. Only 13% of adults in the United States have heard of the 988 Suicide and Seriously? Crisis Lifeline. That is correct. And know its purpose 9 months after its launch, according to a national representative survey conducted by the Pew Charitable Trusts. Only 13%. And sometimes I think when we talk about it a lot on the show, clearly we need to talk about it and remind people more often. In July of 2022, the U.S. launched 988 to connect with a trained counselor, the growing number of people experiencing mental health or substance abuse crises. Of those who do know about the 988, there is significant reluctance to use it. Interesting. But to your point, Mr. Zahmer, I mean, you tell someone this, or maybe you're going through it. I think you feel shamed. You feel less than, like, oh, I don't want to do this. It means I can't handle things on my own. So even people that know about 988, there's still reluctance to use it.
Or I know, I can understand that. Like, for example, earlier this week that we're recording this in, I fell and landed on my hip and hurt my leg. And I didn't want to go to the doctor because I'm like, man, it's urgent care. This is not urgent. So right. many more people need this other than me. And I know that's the same thought that a lot of people have about mental health, where they're like, well, I'm not suicidal. Or if I am, I don't have whatever. I don't have a plan or something. Mm. And so they don't think it's pertinent to them. They don't think they're deserving of it. But everybody is deserving of care. The way our healthcare system is built does not portray that message to people in America, but it is. Everybody is deserving of care, and this is a resource that, at least for mental health, anybody can and should take advantage of.
Well, absolutely. According to this survey, the top three concerns that people don't use it or are reluctant to use it are that, one, that law enforcement would be sent, two, they would be forced to go to a hospital, and three, the call would not remain private and others might find out. That's fascinating. So number one, and I think this speaks to, you know, there are several people in our immigrant communities, both documented and undocumented, that just are very fearful of law enforcement. Minority communities, fearful of law enforcement. So they're afraid if they call 988, there's going to be a law enforcement person that shows up. Number two, they feel like they'd be forced to go to a hospital. And again, I mean, that might be something they would feel ashamed about, or it might be that they don't have health insurance, or they're underinsured and they don't have the money to pay the deductible. And then finally, that the call would somehow not remain private and the others might find out. In fact, the people who staff the phone lines are well-trained and their primary goal is to save a life. Only if there is clear identification of a person that is dying or at the imminent risk of dying, only then will they involve a first responder. So I think that's a really important point to make. Just because you're struggling and need someone to talk to and you call 988, unless you are telling someone that you have a weapon, that you're, you know, God forbid, on a ledge, or in other words, unless there is an imminent threat that you're going to end your life or to harm someone else, that would be the only time that the lifeline person would call a first responder. Otherwise, these are private calls. There are legal things, there are HIPAA laws, other things that keep the calls private. No one's going to find out. about this. I you know, again, unless you're at imminent risk of harming yourself or others, and imminent meaning like, and these are trained professionals. They know the difference between someone that calls and says, I'm feeling suicidal, versus someone that calls and says, you know, this is what I'm about to do. There are distinct differences in people's voice patterns and the speech they use, the language. And these are trained professionals that know how to deduce all that. So I think the thing I just wanted to get out there today in this week between Christmas and New Year's, life ain't easy. You know, for many people, it's a great time to celebrate and gather with friends and family. I hope that's you. But I also know what it's like to be alone during the holidays or be separated from family during the holidays or friends and to feel very down. And I just wanted to say, hang in there. It gets better. And if you need someone to talk to, if you don't have anyone to talk to, simply pick up your cell phone or your landline and dial 988. 988. You could also text 988 on your cell phone as well. If you need someone to talk to, someone on a crisis line, someone who's well-trained, simply call 988. And again, you think about all the money that we have, you know, in Wisconsin, a $4 trillion surplus right now. All the things we spend money on nationally. You would think maybe we could find a few more dollars to put into the marketing fund for the 988 Suicide Crisis Lifeline, because according to the Pew Research poll, only 13% of Americans know about it right now.
And even with that dismally low figure, you may have the numbers in front of you, I'm not sure, but I do remember Tammy Baldwin sharing relatively recently that despite not a ton of people knowing about it yet, it has saved lives.
And oh, yes, absolutely.
Much more so than the old 10-digit number.
That's a great point to make. I really appreciate that. Yes, you're absolutely that. We need to make that clear that despite only 13%, and this is one poll, the Pew Charitable Trust, you know, we all know how polls go. It might be 25%. But you're absolutely right. Actual hard, not a poll, but hard numbers show that this 988 number has gone on to save, and I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but yes, thousands, I think it was tens of thousands of more lives were saved over the last year using 988, the old standard number. So yes, that's where politicians get a lot of gruff. And we should point out this 988 bill was a bipartisan bill. Senator Baldwin happens to be a Democrat, and she co-sponsored it. But there were other, you know, congresspeople, senators out there as well, both Republicans and Democrats, that, you know, sponsored this. And because of the 988 Suicide Crisis Lifeline, thousands of more people have been saved. And that is a good thing. And that is the thing to be joyful about during this holiday season.
Absolutely.
We hope you stay around. We have this great interview that Kristen Bry and I did together with the Law Forward people. And stick around for that brand new content. Also, a couple of segments of Best Of over the last year as well. So stay with us. No calls today. We'll be back live tomorrow with a brand new show. This is the Todd Allball Show for Thursday, December 28th. We appreciate you listening. Stay tuned now. More on the other side right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org. Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for tuning in to the Todd Allball Show. This is Aaron, Todd's producer, letting you know that today is a pre-recorded episode. You're listening to a couple weeks back. There was a Republican bill vetoed by Governor Evers that proposed to penalize people who were down on their luck, unhoused people. And Todd provides an interesting look at this and takes your calls. Enjoy.
Thanks for taking us along on your lunch hour, whether it's listening over the radio in your car or perhaps on the Civic Media app. If you don't have the app, the only better day to get it than today was yesterday, and yesterday's gone, as the Beatles say, right? Something like that. So download the Civic Media app today. Go to your Android or Apple device. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, in your app store search bar. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gayle King at CBS Mornings calls a deal. Do you think by saying Gayle King's name over and over again, she'll ever come on the show?
I think somewhere in the back of her mind, every time you say her name, there's a little tickle. Just like my spidey senses are tingling.
Gayle King has many things in her mind. Coming on this show is not one of them. Yeah. But it would be fantastic if it was.
You know, we could shout out a little beg letter, a little email.
You know, that's a great
call.
Idea.
Just be like, hey, we've mentioned you right every day for the last year.
I think that's a great idea. We'll see. That's a goal. That's a goal for 2024. Welcome back to the show. I just wanted to bring this to people's attention. Because, again, thanks to having a governor like Democrat Tony Evers in the governor's office, this thing isn't going to go anywhere. It's not going to get signed by the governor, even if Republicans pass it. But, again, this bill sponsored by Republicans in the legislature fining some homeless people, if you're not in the right place, $500, and then threats to be incarcerated and put in jail. Now, look, I don't know too many people who are facing housing issues and homeless issues who have an extra $500 to pony up. And again, rather than thinking about this issue, this challenge facing a lot of folks and a lot of communities, it seems as a way to be punitive and to kick people when they're down on their luck. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go out to the Richland County, beautiful Richland County in southwest Wisconsin. John in Boaz. Thanks for listening on WRCE News from the Center. John, what say you?
Yeah, hi. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday, John.
And I just would like to compliment Todd with his truth seeking.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
This goes back to way back in Greek philosophy, a man named Plato. He said three things. He said, first, the truth. Second is a man or woman's character. And then the third thing is the governance, how to collect taxes to fix your streets.
Well, those are three good things to live by, I think.
Yeah. It goes way back to Greek philosophy.
Mm-hmm. So what do you...
And the first one is your truth.
Well, thanks.
We
appreciate that, John. I mean, that's, you know, as we say, pursue truth wherever it may lead. Sometimes folks may appreciate it. Sometimes they might not like it. But we try to suss out what the actual facts are here on the show. What do you think? What are your thoughts, John, on this proposal by Republicans in the legislature? Whoops, John, I guess we lost John there. Sorry about that. But John, if you want to call back, feel free to go ahead.
But again, talking about this issue of, and the people who are proposing this are Corey Tomczyk, Republican of Mozenie, and Representative Alex Dahlman, Republican of Green Lake, who they say would increase accountability needed to truly tackle the homeless issue. That's what they say. I don't understand. I don't see how fining people $500 who are already homeless is going to improve homelessness or address the actual problem here. You could also text us as well off the Civic Media app. Off the app, WAUK, Brian from Maguanago says, leave it to the Republicans to try to charge fines to those in crisis. I agree with that, right? I mean, look, I've gone through times of unemployment. I've gone through times of housing crisis. And quite frankly, as the saying goes, there by the grace of God go I. Had it not been for support from family at those times, I could have found myself homeless. That's the truth. So I think people, before they start judging how people got there, we need to look internally and say, you know what? Many of us are not that far away from being in that same situation through no fault of our own. Doesn't mean that people who are without housing aren't hard workers or they're bums. It's because that we have a lot of other things to address in our society, including the cost of housing, what working people are making, and the taxes that the rich folks might not necessarily be paid. Lots of reforms could be made to address housing, but fining people $500 and putting them in jail, I don't see how that is helpful. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Pizza Box Mike, who will have his show tonight right here on Civic Media. Pizza Box, appreciate you calling in. What say you?
Well, we got here through legislation and propaganda from people like Robin Voss, but really what makes me angry is hearing him calling diversity, equity, and inclusion a cancerous practice when some of us are actually battling cancer, you bastard. And you just happen to be the biggest tumor on Wisconsin. All you have to do is look at his practices. Four marriages with non-disclosure agreements, four failed marriages, right? Well, I guess the last one, you know, maybe he found the right one. Using prison labor for his... taking $300,000 during the pandemic. So
Pizza Box, how do you feel about this bill specifically on homelessness and charging folks $500? I got about a minute here. We got to go to a break, but what are your thoughts on that specific bill?
Well, obviously that's what Jesus would do. So these guys are just using the policies of, you know, Christianity. Of course it's awful. I mean, I know people that are homeless. Okay. And I've got friends that are homeless, and like you mentioned, the reasons are many. Some of them don't want to live in a community with people because mm-hmm. they can't trust anybody, you know, Vietnam right. vets in particular. But, you know, mental health issues, I'm dealing that with my best friend. If it wasn't for her sister and I, she'd be there.
Right.
It's a horrible thing to do to a human being.
It is. Peace Box. I got to run the next caller, but thanks so much. Appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Sue in Kenosha. Sue, about a minute left. It's all yours. What say you?
I say that it is totally wrong, and I think that we need to vote these Republicans out of office, put them on the street, see how they like it, and see if they can come up with $500 for camping.
Yeah, I think your point you bring up is a good one, in that it will be helpful if we sit down and talk with folks who are facing the issues that legislators are trying to address. Because you might learn something by opening up your ears and listening to folks. We're going to listen to our friend Brady Ewing talking about money versus relationships in college sports and so much more. Don't go anywhere. This is the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News brief, border states are ramping up their busing of migrants to northern cities, says CBS New York's Astrid Martinez.
New York City saw nearly 15,000 new arrivals this month.
But it's not alone. Close to 2,000 in Chicago and 5,000 in Denver.
Maine's elected Democratic Secretary of State has ruled that the insurrection clause of the 14th Amendment makes former President Trump ineligible to be on the Republican primary ballot. CBS News election law contributor David Becker.
She also, understanding the import of this rule, stayed the decision pending judicial review in the Maine courts, knowing that this is just the first step of an overall review.
U.S. troops are preparing to evacuate Americans from Lebanon if necessary, says CBS's David Martin.
Two amphibious ships carrying 1,500 sailors and Marines, along with jet fighters, helicopters, and armored vehicles, have transited the Suez Canal from the Red Sea into the eastern Mediterranean.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden called the recently passed former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl one of the finest people he ever worked with. State Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler.
The only person that he was working for was you, the voter. It wasn't about special interests or about big money donors or anything else. He was there to do the work because he loved Wisconsin and he wanted to lift Wisconsin up.
Flags around Wisconsin are lowered to half staff until after Cole's funeral. He died Wednesday after a brief illness. Cole was 88. Minocqua Brewing Company owner Kirk Bangstedt is filing a petition with the Wisconsin Elections Commission to try and keep Donald Trump's name off Wisconsin's presidential ballots next year. The commission has already rejected the petition, though it is likely to end up in the courts. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Mostly cloudy this morning. We will gradually become partly cloudy as we head through the afternoon. High today right around 41. The wind north gusting to 25 through about mid-morning, then backing down to around 5 to 15 through the rest of the day. Tonight, it'll be clear. Our low 27. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. Clouds in the afternoon. High of 39. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 32.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show. Thanks for tuning in. Today is a replay of an episode from a few weeks back. Todd had a conversation with one of our favorite guests, former Badger and NFL fullback Brady Ewing, about NIL, or name, image, and likeness, deals with college athletes and how that might play into the motivation of why some of these athletes play or continue to play their sport. Enjoy.
Once again, to bring back our friend, but it's been far too long, but appreciate him making time for us once again to come back on the show. A three-time Big Ten champion, former fullback for the University of Wisconsin Badger football team, and spent 3 years in the NFL, and almost went and played for Bo Ryan on the basketball court. He is Richland Center native Brady Ewing. Brady, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show. How the heck you been, my friend?
I've been doing pretty good. Things aren't slowing down from a family and a personal perspective, but it's been a blast and a fun fall. I know it's been a little while since we've been able to connect on here, so excited to reconnect and catch up, and maybe we can even talk about, you know, trick-or-treating at your mom's house.
For those who don't know, my mom and Brady's parents live a house apart on the same street in Richland Center. And so Brady and his wife brought their kids over to go trick-or-treating in the neighborhood, and came, and mom was so happy, and it made her night so much. She texted me and she said, oh, you know, Brady and their family, they brought the kids, and it was just fantastic. And she got a big kick out of it. So thanks for doing that. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was a blast. The kids had a great Halloween, and that was a nice stop to be able to catch up with your mom a little bit and talked about you, and she picked on Brandon because he spent some time on WRCO with Phil, and so yeah, it was a good time.
Well, now this brings up a very interesting point. Brady has a brother, Brandon, and mom now is lobbying me on behalf of Brandon. She's, oh, why don't you have him on the show? I said, he is welcome to come on anytime. So we have to coordinate it with your brother. We'll have Brandon on. We'll have a Brady and Brandon jamboree one day.
That would be fun. We should do
that. All right. Well,
for that.
Well, all right. We'll do some coordination. We'll get it done. Brady, I want to start. First of all, we had our own Terry Bell on the show yesterday, and we talked a lot about the Wisconsin Badger volleyball team being in the Final Four. I listened to the game last night, and boy, the Badgers came back in that second set. I thought maybe they could do something, but by the third set, Texas was just way too powerful on offense, and the Badgers couldn't get the defense going. Their season comes to an end, but wow, what a fantastic season for the Badgers in volleyball.
Sorry, I had to cough there.
No,
yeah, it was, man, we absolutely love watching that team compete and those student athletes. I mean, just a phenomenal season, you know, getting to the Final Four. Obviously didn't end how we wanted last night or kind of expected based on, you know, what they had been doing, but still an awesome showing, tons to be proud of, and a great run this season. But yeah, Texas had a lot of high flyers.
Right.
And number six, I forget her name, but man, some of the back row spikes and stuff she was able to do was pretty impressive. And that second set was, you know, she was pretty quiet, and then mm-hmm. she heated back up in the subsequent sets, and she was definitely a driving force for their team. So it'll be interesting to see if the Big Ten can, you know, get a win with Nebraska.
See, you're much too much of a sportsman, because I'm pulling for Texas because I can't stand Nebraska, because I've told the people that, you know, especially in your days playing, you know, we had season tickets for a couple of years when you were playing for the Badgers, and you know, I sat next to Iowa fans and Ohio State fans and even Michigan fans, and you know, it was a cordial, you know, polite rivalry. But good gravy, some of these Nebraska people I sat next to, just absolutely terrible. And so I'm not sure I can root for the Cornhuskers tonight or on Sunday.
That's hilarious, because probably the total opposite experience of what I felt, at least when I coached at UW.
Really?
Is when we left, I forget the name of their stadium out there, but
yeah.
That year that we won, it was the one year I coached at UW. We won on a last-second field goal. At Lincoln by Gaglione. Hit a last-second field goal to win the game.
That's right.
And when we left the field, their fans were literally cheering for us and high-fiving us, telling us good game.
No way.
And this was at their place.
No way.
And so perception has always been that, man, if you were at, sorry, I'm struggling with a cough here.
That's
if
fine.
You were at Ohio State or you were at Michigan State or basically any other place in the whole country,
uh-huh.
let alone the Big Ten, I mean, you probably would have been getting middle fingers flung right. at you, spit flung at you, and some choice words, but these guys were high-fiving us with
really?
Pats on the back, which is odd.
Yeah. That's really fascinating. What in your time playing for the Badgers, what was kind of as a player, what was the place that you kind of dreaded going for a road game, or maybe not dreaded, but was like, wow, that's a tough environment to play in, either fans or atmosphere or whatever?
Yeah, so the stadium, honestly, I always kind of thrived in that away environment. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the teams that can do that, you kind of, it brings you together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an opportunity to put your arms together and go into an environment and kind of have your back against the wall.
Sure.
But the bigger issue usually was just sideline space. I think it's Michigan State. I mean, I was not great, but the fans are basically right up on your back.
Wow.
So if you're, you know, you could be sitting on the bench while the defense is out on the field,
mm-hmm.
and you may have fans chirping in your ear literally from, you know, less than 5 yards away.
Wow.
Or they could be listening in on your conversations with, you know, your running back coach or the offensive coordinator.
Or you could have a Michigan coach trying to steal your signs 5 feet away from you. 5 yards.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Potentially.
Potentially. Allegedly. Right. We haven't talked to you in a while. What do you make of this whole thing? Of course, Jim Harbaugh had to sit out the last three games of the regular season, and now he's going to coach in the national or the Final Four or whatever. But what do you make mm-hmm. of all this sign stealing? Because it seemed like to me that even the most salty of Big Ten coaches were playing this pretty carefully. And if you read between the lines, it seemed like they thought this was happening and were none too happy. What are your feelings on it? And does Jim Harbaugh come back next year, or is he off to coach in Chicago or Las Vegas or somewhere in the NFL?
Yeah, I think every team... I don't know what the rules are on it, to be honest with you, and I haven't followed incredibly closely, but I think every team, at least in game, and probably from, you know, their film study at least, is looking at some of that stuff to some extent. Some teams more than others. I know when I was at Wisconsin, we signaled in our plays at that time to the quarterback, so Coach Chris would call the play. There would typically be one live signaler, and then there would be two dummy signalers.
Mm-hmm.
And other teams have way more sophisticated signaling with pictures and with, you know, a bunch of people doing signals. But I think there's, you know, if somebody runs a play and you're looking at the signaler, you start to put two and two together after a while. Now, right. Was that ever an intentional effort that was done by, you know, Wisconsin or any of the teams I played with? No, but it was a part of the game, much like when you're watching film or watching the way that a right tackle reach blocks on a certain play, or the way that he, you know, changes his weight or his stance on a run play versus a pass play, or this type of a run mm-hmm. play versus this other type of a run play. You know, it's something on the field of play or that you can watch on film, you know, to get a cue on what's going on. So
yeah.
As far as sending people specifically for those types of purposes, I mean, that's crazy, and it sounds like there's a lot of evidence.
There's a lot. The guy's name last name was Stallion. You know, not too much of a stallion if he's going to places and stealing plays like that, allegedly. But we'll see how that all plays out. Talking to Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badger fullback, three-time Big Ten champion, and spent 3 years in the NFL. Brady, appreciate the time as always. I want to talk about this story that was in 247sports.com. And it's according to the Illinois Courier. Headline is, it's like Tommy Mania, Illinois quarterback DeVito, a hit at home with the New York Giants. And for those that don't know, Tommy DeVito, they call him Tommy Cutlets, we said at the top of the show, because he's living at home. He was an undrafted guy after his last year in college, and was picked up by the Giants, basically a third-string quarterback. Through a series of circumstances and injury, he ends up being the starting quarterback, and he's been a phenom ever since. But, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize, Brady, you know, you don't make a lot of money, most players, unless you're first round. In your first year in the NFL, you certainly don't make a lot of money if you're undrafted and get signed basically to a practice squad. And so the guy, who can blame him, with rents in New York, I'm sure, he's living at home with mom and dad because they live in New Jersey. And his mom's making him chicken cutlets, and it's fantastic. But what a lot of people... I love it too. And so... it turns out that Tommy DeVito played for Illinois last year under Brett Bielema, former head coach of Wisconsin, and he has the quarterback that beat Wisconsin last year, that basically was the final straw that cost Coach Paul Chryst his job. And now he does basically, well, Joe Barry hasn't gotten fired yet, but I mean, he beat the Packers. So two Wisconsin teams in back-to-back years, it was at the hands of Tommy DeVito. What I want to focus on is this line in the story. And I thought this was great. This is from Tommy DeVito's dad, who said this about Brett Bielema, who of course was your coach for a while at Wisconsin. Says, I feel that every single quarterback should spend at least 1 year with Coach Bielema, because that guy taught Tommy situational football and how to be an efficient, smart quarterback. Little things like 3rd and 8 in the 39-yard line, he's already letting the offensive coordinator and Tommy know that we're going to go for it on 4th down. And he goes on to say some other really, really great things about the relationship that he had. He says, Coach Bielema, after a Washington Commanders game, the phone's ringing, it's Coach Bielema. All the text messages he sends to Tommy, all the advice he keeps sending, text messages he sends to me, he doesn't owe us a thing. That guy, that's the guy that he is. Any quarterback ever wants to know if he wants to come play for him, the dad or the quarterback should call me, because this guy is unbelievable. What he did for Tommy and the person that he still is, we'll never forget that. And he goes on to talk about, you know, what's more important, these name, image, and likeness deals where some guys are getting hundreds of thousands or even $1 million now to play college football, or the relationship you have with your coaches and the organization? I just wondered your thoughts, Brady, on that situation and playing for Coach Bielema.
Yeah. I mean, when I hear DeVito's dad talk about that, it takes me back to the draft process, you know, leaving UW and, you know, going to the combine, doing the Senior Bowl, going to the draft and all of that. And one of the first people to call me after I was drafted that evening was Coach Bielema. You know, called me, called my parents, and, you know, it didn't stop just at that night. You know, so, you know, the communication, the support was always there, and it was always personal to Coach B. And so that was pretty cool. He, you know, as cliche as it sounds, and a lot of people say it, but I think he cares about you not only on the field, but the success he wants you to have off the field. So to see that continued with DeVito Cutlets and and his family is cool. And as far as situational football, I mean, that's huge, especially in the NFL as a quarterback, because they get the flexibility and to manage a lot of that part of the game themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think instilling that, Coach Bielema and Coach Chryst at the time, who's the O coordinator, that's all we did. Our whole practice was structured around situational football, 1st and 10, mm-hmm. you know, 3rd and short, 3rd and long, red zone, 2-minute drill, 4-minute drill. You know, it's all situational football that was not only reinforced on the field, but also in the meeting rooms. You know, so you're preparing for those sessions on the field with the work in the meeting rooms, and then reinforcing it on the back end.
Very interesting. Brady Ewing, a former Wisconsin football player, spent 3 years in the NFL. We'll come back and talk about, what do you go for, the money or the coaching relationships? And also Brady's thoughts on the Pack. Can they make the playoffs? Back after this to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
I was proud to be a soldier. I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to The Todd Allbaugh Show. Thanks for tuning in. Today is a replay of an episode from a few weeks back. Todd had a conversation with one of our favorite guests, former Badger and NFL fullback Brady Ewing, about NIL, or name, image, and likeness, deals with college athletes and how that might play into the motivation of why some of these athletes play or continue to play their sport. Enjoy.
And spent 3 years in the NFL with us on the radio, talking a little football, a little sports, life in general. Brady, always great to have you along with us. Talking about this story about Tommy DeVito. Former quarterback at Illinois, was a transfer portal in for a year under Coach Bielema, who, of course, was your coach one of your coaches at Wisconsin, and then has gone on to have this kind of fantastically odd, nuanced season so far at New York with the Giants in the NFL. But he and his dad brought up in this article that, you know, players should think about, and not just football players, anybody who's going to go into a college sport, particularly D1, of do you go for the money, the NIL money, the name, image, likeness money, where some guys are signing and gals are signing deals for a car or several thousand dollars or even a million dollars? Do you go for your best money grab in college, or do you go for the program and the coach like Bielema, who, you know, as a fan, people like me are a little salty that he left right before the Rose Bowl. And, you know, there's kind of this abandonment feeling. But I know in talking with you over the years, not just you, but I'm hard-pressed to find any Badger football player that played for Coach Bielema that doesn't feel the same way as you, that say, look, he was a player's coach, that he cared for you. And so what do you go for, Brady? Do you go for the money or do you go for relationships?
Oh, man, that's a deep philosophical question. It's and those priorities, I think, continue to shift. Everybody has different priorities in life, and this is no different. And those priorities continue to shift and kind of be shaped by the NIL. So It's like, okay, you know, while some probably want to choose for that relationship and maybe the long-term development plan and, you know, the opportunity to set themselves up to be prepared as best possible for the NFL for, you know, long-term financial benefits that way. You know, they're being corrupted or kind of, you know, that changes a little bit when you have programs offering NIL deals that can bring, you know, immediate, you know, financial benefits. So,
right.
And I think it's changing the way those coaches have to recruit and how they have to look at those things too. It sounds like some are still finding that balance of having great relationships, but man, look at how many kids, at least in football, you know, entered the transfer portal as soon as that opened up.
It's crazy.
It's mind blowing. And I forget the exact number of how many jumped in.
Hundreds.
In one day.
Yeah.
I think it was thousands.
Maybe it could have been.
I want to say it was like 3,500 or something.
Good, it's
like,
Lord.
Man, you wonder what the statistics will look like on what type of opportunity did that bring for the kids? Did it bring financial benefit? Did it bring better playing opportunity? Did it bring, you know, other benefits to where they were, you know, closer to family or other situations? You know, just did some of them not even end up finding a team? Did they go back to their current team? You know, just it'd be super fascinating to see that data.
And to change sports quickly, I mean, last night, Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team won against Jacksonville State at home. And Connor Sejan, the great freshman phenom last year, who had a back injury, has struggled a lot this year, didn't get in until the second half, and then Coach Gard pulled him like 25 seconds later after he had a defensive letdown. And the crowd booed, and then he got in later and finally hit a three. And Coach Gard talked about afterwards that, hey, last year's team was okay. This is much deeper, and we can't afford to let guys, whether it's Connor or anybody else, play through this. We're going to keep supporting him and coaching him, but there's too much at stake, in Coach Gard's words. I think there's a lot of people today wondering, well, does a guy like Connor Asija look at the transfer portal if he's not getting the minutes because there are better guys mm-hmm. ahead of him? It completely changes things, Brady.
I had that exact thought run through my head last night, and I think the couple games I had watched before that, because he was such a big key part of, you know, last year's team, and mm-hmm. came out hot, shooting hot, and kind of maintained that through most of the season. And so to see, you know, he's not even a starter this year, I think it speaks to, you know, how good and how deep of a team we have, and some of the transfers we've taken advantage of, and some of the young mm-hmm. young players we got in with Blackwell and Storr. They've been awesome additions along with others. But yeah, I mean, that's.
And think about, you know, think for a second, Brady, when you had a guy like when Frank Kaminsky, people forget he was not great his sophomore season. And he's talked about Bo Ryan was hard on him. And Kaminsky's dad was basically in alignment with Bo and said, you got to listen to him. And it's tough. And he goes on to be the National Player of the Year. But that took some really tough coaching. And is that going to happen anymore? Or do guys just say, look, I don't need this. I'm going somewhere else in the portal.
I think it does. And especially at a place like Wisconsin, at least during my time there, and the basketball team very similarly, is I feel like those are more, or historically have been more developmental based programs mm-hmm. where you're not getting those 4 or 5 star recruit guys as consistently as some other schools, but you're committed to developing players on and off the field. So it's, you know, it's multiple years typically where you're not in that starter role. There's a deep, you know, roster and in a deep competition pool that's mm-hmm. been there. That's, you know, in this process too. So they put in their time, they've developed, and not that you're just given the job because you've been there, but typically the way it works out is those guys are well prepared. They waited their turn and they get that opportunity.
And now they have to earn it.
That's right. But now they have to earn it and they show it. If not, you know, next man up. But I'd say, you know, we've been more of a developmental programs the last, you know, historically. And so this is definitely shaking that up.
It's a new era.
The philosophy.
Yeah, it's a new era. Next time we'll talk more about, you know, I think Coach Fickell has more of this newer mentality. It's brought in this new stud quarterback from Miami in the transfer portal. So we'll maybe get to that next time. I want to give you about a minute and a half or 2 minutes here, Brady. Let's talk Packers, switch to the NFL for a second. I was on the Love train. I was all for him. I thought this is going to happen. We're going to the playoffs. And then they go out and Tommy Cutlets beats him in New York. Can the Packers still make the playoffs, Brady?
I think so. I haven't looked at the true statistics on it, but I think there's a chance. I felt like the stage that they had against the Giants and you know, the opportunity there, that was a winnable game, and I think would have increased their odds of making it to the playoffs significantly looking at the odds of it. But I don't know. I like the progress they've made. They seem resilient.
20 seconds. What the heck? Prevent defense? Don't you just go after the quarterback so you can score if they... What was that?
Put some pressure on. That's the best prevent defense, some people say.
Thank you, Brady Ewing. Talk to you soon. Back after this on the Todd Lowball Show on Civic Media.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out.
And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS.